from LPM.
Louisville Public Media.
Support for LPM podcasts comes from the Eye Care Institute and Butchertown Clinical Trials, where they strive for diversity, equity, and inclusion within their staff, patients, and clinical trial participants. To learn more, visit butchertown.clinic.
As officials are taking more steps to control the spread of coronavirus, the economic impact and other effects of those measures are far-reaching and already are hitting many citizens hard. I'm Rick Howlett. Today on a WFPL and Kentucky Public Radio News special, we'll assess the economic fallout thus far from coronavirus and the attempts to lessen its spread. And we want to hear from you. How has it affected your life and your livelihood? How are you coping? How can we help you? We'll discuss the growing impact of the coronavirus pandemic this hour on a new special on 89.3 WFPL and Kentucky Public Radio. Hello, everyone. I'm Rick Howlett, and welcome to a new special, a special edition of In Conversation on WFPL and our partner stations on the Kentucky Public Radio Network. Thanks for joining us. This coronavirus pandemic and the impact it's having on our daily lives is, of course, a fluid situation. Sometimes seems more like a waterfall, but we want to take this opportunity to assess where we are, share information, and hear how you're doing. And we have a panel of guests with us today. In a moment, we're going to talk to Louisville Mayor Greg Fisher. He's with us on the phone for an update on the response effort and how it's going in Kentucky's largest city. Here in the studio are Dina Epperle-Karam, Senior Vice President of Regional Economic Growth at Greater Louisville, Inc., and Greg Orther, Behavioral Health Outreach Coordinator at U of L Health Peace Hospital. A little later in the program, we're going to talk with Chris Woolridge. He's out in West Kentucky. He's director of the Center for Economic and Entrepreneurial Development at Murray State University, and we'll talk to him about what's going on in his region of the state. And, of course, we want to hear how you are faring as more restrictions on your daily lives are being put in place to get in front of the coronavirus spread. Are you out of work because of this? Are you a business owner who's trying to adjust to the new restrictions? If you're working on site, is your workplace taking the proper precautions to avoid spreading the virus? How are you adjusting to working from home? Give us a call, 502-814-TALK, 502-814-8255. You can send us a tweet if you'd rather do that. Our handle is WFPL News. That's FPL as in Free Public Library, WFPL News, and we're on Facebook. Well, millions of people around the world are working at home today as part of the effort to prevent the spread of coronavirus, including the mayor of Louisville, Greg Fisher. He's in the final couple of days of self-quarantine because he was present at an event earlier this month where two attendees later tested positive for COVID-19. Mayor, first of all, welcome to the program.
Rick, thanks for putting it on today.
Good to have you. Now, as a precaution, you were tested for COVID-19 a few days ago, but that test has come back negative, correct?
Yes, it has, and I appreciate all the healthcare workers that are out there hitting it hard right now. People are being stressed, a lot of hours going into this all over the city.
And you're doing okay, and you'll be out of self-quarantine in a couple of days, right?
Possibly. It might be extended now. We're evaluating that.
All right. Well, we'll keep tabs on that. Well, as you well know, Governor Andy Beshear and other governors and mayors around the country have been taking more and more steps to ensure that people aren't gathering in larger crowds and spreading the virus. Perhaps some of them unknowingly, bars and restaurants closed now to in-person gatherings, movie theaters, gyms, salons, other places closing. As we speak, some cities are sheltering in place or thinking about it. So what's the latest here in Louisville? What's new today that you can pass along that we should be doing?
Well, our most recent confirmation is we have 9 confirmed cases in Louisville. We have 3 additional probable cases. This is what we're expecting, right? As people are getting up to speed on what's happening all over the world, you're seeing this kind of multiplier effect of the number of cases that are being present. And that is without a lot of testing going on, Rick, in the city right now and in the Commonwealth. That's an area of great frustration for everybody, the lack of availability of test kits to determine really how prevalent this virus is in the city right now. So as more test kits become online, we fully expect there to be more confirmed cases. That'll be normal in terms of the way the virus spreads. But what we continue to communicate and is the most important thing, and I hope everybody is taking this as seriously as they could right now, is the need to keep this social distance between people. If somebody can breathe on you, cough on you, sneeze on you, you are too close. Okay, that is how the droplets from the virus spread, that and through surfaces. So keeping 6 feet between people is very, very important. And as I said, it has taken a while for people to take it seriously, but this virus will overcome any macho-ness that anybody has here. So please keep in touch with those basic practices. We have all kinds of announcements that we can get into later, if you like, in different parts of the city government. But that's the big picture for today.
Now, are we, for lack of a better term, a hard shutdown, a shelter in place, still a possibility for us? Is that still on the table?
Well, everything's a possibility, right? I mean, we're fighting an unseen enemy here in this virus. We are not at that point right now as a city, but it will depend on how well people cooperate with social distancing. If we start seeing a huge spike in our numbers, we certainly will take more severe actions already. Obviously, there's a lot that's already been taken in the city starting some 10 days or so ago. And then we're following the governor and what his advice is already. So we're asking everybody to telework. If you can do that, absolutely do that. If you cannot do that from your companies, we're asking you to take the social distancing practices that are coming to place. Any event that Metro has been canceled or postponed. We're asking everybody else to do that with their events as well. And then we're taking precautions with our public safety folks, our first responders, to make sure that they are in a maximum position to stay healthy so that they can respond in the event that this pandemic gets significantly more out of control in our city. So those are just a few of the things taking place, but shelter in place is not on the table right now.
And we have a large, of course, medical and hospital community here in Louisville. Are you confident, as you can be at this point, knowing what we know and don't know so far, with their preparations for a possible surge in patients that, given the information we have, they'll be able to handle extra patients and have adequate supplies and that sort of thing?
Yes, no, I'm really proud of our healthcare network in the city in terms of both preparation and planning. Of course, they all have pandemic protocols in place, just like we do at the city. There's plenty of availability today, but that's not the issue, right? The question is when is this going to peak right in our community, and will that peak overrun our healthcare system? That is what we're trying to do everything we can to avoid. And that's why, again, we're telling people to practice the basic hygiene practices and social distancing. Everybody can help with this. Look, this is like a war right now, except we can't see this enemy, the virus. So everybody's first question as a citizen is, what can I be doing right now to make sure this virus doesn't spread? From a planning standpoint, our incident management team at our emergency operations center has been fully in gear. Our public and health and wellness department, who's doing a really outstanding job on this, has been working on this since January. So the incident management team is running through all types of contingencies and scenario planning right now, taking care of today's issues, which are not that challenging, but anticipating what tomorrow may bring, what 1 week from now may bring, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, et cetera, so that we can adjust the way that we'll need to adjust if this outbreak gets much more severe in our community, which we are anticipating.
Yesterday, Churchill Downs made the announcement, not really a surprise now to many folks, that the Kentucky Derby will be postponed until September 5th. And, of course, for those of us here in Louisville, that also means many related events and a big part of our economy will be held up leading to that date. And you support this decision.
It's absolutely the right decision. We've been working with Churchill daily on that and the Kentucky Derby Festival. So we're just going to have a really special Kentucky Derby and Derby Festival here in August and September, and then all the festivals that come after that. So if anybody feels like they're having any pent-up energy right now, I just ask you to put that in reserve, because we're going to need all that energy come August and September for all the activities that we've got going on in the city.
Some of the calls of concern we've been getting have been from folks at plants, factories, and other places where people are still working and working in groups. Have you been in touch with some of the, these business leaders to talk about, you know, make sure that they're taking the proper precautions to not spread the virus among their workers?
Yes, we have. And I've been having multiple kind of group calls with people, whether it be our legislators, our county judges, Jefferson County League of Cities, but also the business community, our globalization community, and some direct conversation with people as well. Most recently, GE Appliances last night that, as you know, are closing down many of their lines out there only to provide for the most critical product that they have, which is refrigeration, low-dollar refrigeration that's needed to keep people up. But, yeah, if people feel like their workplaces are not practicing proper social distancing, we want to hear from them. And we want to encourage, require all responsible, all business owners to put in proper social distancing. If you don't, what that means is that your people are going to get sick. They're going to make more people sick. So it is a very, very short-sighted move not to do that.
We had a listener over in New Albany was wondering if what kind of cooperation is going on between Louisville Metro government and the folks in Southern Indiana.
On the call that we had, I think it was Sunday or Monday, with our regional county judges and mayors, that included the mayors from Southern Indiana were on the call as well. So, yeah, we're looking at this as a regional response. Obviously, people travel back and forth across the river, and I can guarantee you the virus sure doesn't care about that river. So we've been communicating with all of our regional folks on here, making sure they know what we're doing, making sure our first responders are communicating properly as we move people throughout the various healthcare facilities. And people should know that all of our public safety officials and first responders, that's what they do all the time. So it's not like we're creating this from scratch. So this is just going to test our system and how well we've built our skills over the years so far. So good. We just want to be ready for a peak.
We're getting deeper into this, Mayor. What's been your experience thus far with the people here in the Louisville area and how they're adapting and how they're getting on with all of this?
Well, we went through, it was like going through the stages of grief there for a while. A week ago Sunday when we started talking about this, people were like, aren't you guys overreacting to that? So there was kind of a little disbelief and denial. When we started encouraging people, telling people not to go to senior homes to visit their loved ones, that's when the phone really started ringing off the hook in my office. People saying, how could you do this? And well, what we know is the epicenter for this outbreak in America is Seattle. And within Seattle, it's a nursing home. 50% fatality rate in the nursing home for people over 80 years old. So our decisions are being driven by science and facts. It is inconveniencing people, and I totally get that. But I do not want you to get sick, your loved one to get sick, and certainly die. So that was the first wave through the senior home announcement. The second wave came when we encouraged houses of worship to cancel their services. So a lot of folks were kind of saying, how dare could government do that? And worship is very important, and faith and hope is very important. But what we wanted to emphasize is these are breeding grounds. When you come together in these close quarters and pass the disease, that's what we have to stop. So we got a great interfaith community here, and I was really proud of all of them coming together. And what was our Muslim community, our Hindu community, our Jewish, Buddhist community, Christian communities, most everybody's canceled right now. In retrospect, they're seeing the wisdom of these decisions. So
let me cut you off. Let me stop you there, man. Can you stick around for a couple of more minutes?
Yeah, one more segment.
Yeah.
Thanks.
All right, we'll be back with more in a moment on 89.3 WFPL and Kentucky Public Radio. The work we do on In Conversation wouldn't be possible without you. To support us, visit wfpl.org/supportinconversation. That's wfpl.org/supportinconversation. Welcome back to our news special on 89.3 WFPL and Kentucky Public Radio. I'm Rick Howlett, and we, of course, are talking about the latest developments of the coronavirus outbreak. We're kind of focusing today's program on the economic impact, but we still want to hear from you about how this is all affecting you, both economically and in your home, working from home, working on site. whatever you'd like to talk about. 502-814-TALK is our number, 502-814-8255. You can send us a tweet. WFPL News is our handle, our Twitter handle, and we're also on Facebook. We're talking with Louisville Mayor Greg Fisher, who's on the phone with us, and in a moment we're going to be chatting with Dina Epperle-Karam of the Greater Louisville, Inc., the Chamber of Commerce here in the Louisville area, and Greg Orther, who's a Behavioral Health Outreach Coordinator about with UofL Health Peace Hospital. He's going to give us some tips on how to cope with all this. But I want to get back to you, Mayor, because I know you have to run shortly. We had one caller wanted to know, what do you hear from your perspective about the availability of coronavirus testing, and when can we see some more tests come in that will be available for people to use?
This is the question that everybody's struggling with. There has not been a lot of cases or a lot of test kits available throughout the entire country. The federal government has sent those to areas where they got a higher per capita outbreak than what we have right now. So there's some local efforts being worked to get the test kits available. That's happening all over America right now. And we just can't give good information. I think that's a failure of the federal government to start with, and we don't need to really talk about that too much because it is what it is right now. So we're getting local governments or local universities, laboratories coming up. We should have better information on that, Rick. I hope by the end of the week we know how serious it is. And I just apologize. I can't give a better response to that. I do, if you would let me just say,
sure.
Our emphasis right now is on the most vulnerable population, protecting them from a public health standpoint. So that's our older citizens, people with chronic conditions, and then also people that are financially vulnerable. I expect on Thursday that Metro Council will be redirecting $2.7 million in funds that we had set aside for pension pay down to basic needs around food and housing. And that will be administered through Dare to Care, community ministries, and groups like that. Also, evictions, there's no evictions for 30 days. Hopefully we'll see if that needs to be, hopefully not, but we'll see if that we can extend that beyond that. And there's no cutoffs from LG&E or the water company. So food assistance for seniors. You can go to louisvillek.y.gov and see the distribution sites we have that for financially vulnerable seniors. And then JCPS obviously is focusing on their students and food with free breakfast and free lunch at 45 some different facilities. And you can get information on that on JCPS's Facebook page.
And finally, then we'll let you go, Mayor. We've heard a lot about empty shelves at stores, people hoarding toilet paper and essentials and various groceries. Has there been any discussions locally with grocers and about perhaps staggering shopping hours or taking some other steps to make sure everybody has these things available to them?
Yes, there has. And our grocery suppliers and such, they've indicated no breakdown in their supply chain other than that what's happening as a result of hoarding. So whether it's sanitizers, or I still don't get the toilet paper thing. But we just ask people to be responsible with what they're buying. Think about their neighbor. Think about maybe it's their great uncle that's going to be coming after them that can't get that. So, and we are seeing some stores putting in a dedicated hour, usually at the beginning of when they open, for more vulnerable citizens to come in and shop first. And then some of the hours are changing at some of the grocery stores so they have more time to restock and do a deep cleaning of their stores. But so far, so good with that. But look, just in closing here before I go out, we expect the numbers to go up. That's what we're seeing all over the world. The reason we're taking these measures is we don't want to see the kind of death and disaster that you're seeing in Italy and that you saw initially in China. Everybody can do their part, okay? And then we'll be announcing an emergency fund to help more vulnerable people later today. So if you have the ability to help, please help. And support our restaurants out there, too. They're really hurting right now. Do takeout, do delivery. And if you can afford to, just leave the biggest tip that you ever thought you could possibly leave so it could go back and help our hospitality workers that are so important to our city.
Will do, Mayor. Thanks so much for joining us. And we'll be checking, of course, with you later. But thanks for being with us today.
Okay. Thank you, Rick. Take care.
Mayor Greg Fisher of Louisville, Mayor Greg Fisher, joining us today. And he will be back with us for those of you who will be tuning in on Friday for our In Conversation program. He'll be scheduled to join us again for another update for that. You're listening to a new special, a special edition of In Conversation on 89.3 WFPL and our Kentucky Public Radio partner stations. I'm Rick Howlett, and joining us here in the studio are Dina Epperle-Karam, Senior Vice President of Regional Economic Growth of Greater Louisville, Inc., and Greg Orther, Behavioral Health Outreach Coordinator at U of L Peace Hospital. We're focusing mainly today on the economic impact and the psychological impact of all the economic problems that this coronavirus outbreak has caused. Dina, let me start with you, just generally speaking. What are you hearing from your members affected by this fallout? How are they coping? How are they responding?
Our members are doing pretty well. I would echo what the mayor is saying about our region. Our business leaders are smart people. They know what they need to do to take care of their business and take care of their employees. So they're practicing the social distancing that we're all hearing about. We ourselves as a Chamber of Commerce have posted a lot of resources out to our members. We're communicating with them every day. We communicate with our board and the leadership of our chamber and all of our members about resources that are available to them to take care of themselves emotionally, to take care of their employees, information about what is yet to come. I don't think we are at the peak of this, as the mayor said, yet. So we will continue to do that. We support our members and we will stand by them and see this through.
And this has an effect on one way or another on every sector of our business community, right?
This will eventually, I think, impact every business sector. I think we're seeing the first round of these impacts are probably on the hospitality community. Obviously, with Derby being moved, with the restaurants being closed, this first round of impacts are going to be and are happening with folks that are in the hospitality industry. So we have to be aware of that. I like what the mayor said about leave the biggest tip that you could possibly leave. If you can, try to hit those local restaurants over the next couple of days with their carryout services and think about tipping, just like the mayor said, the best that you can. That's going to be the first round, I think, of impact. After that, I think our second impact, we're going to see it in the manufacturing industry. We haven't quite yet. I know that GE made some tough decisions yesterday, but I think we'll have some other impacts in that industry in particular yet to come.
And we want to hear again how this is affecting you out there. 502-814-TALK, 502-814-8255 is our number. You can send us a tweet, WFPL News, and we're also on Facebook. Greg Orther with U of L Health Peace Hospital. There's enough to be anxious about during regular times, but what are you hearing from folks from where you are, and how are people taking all this?
Well, people fear the unknown, and right now there's a lot of unknown about the virus, about the coordinated response that we're seeing, and uncertainty drives anxiety. So not knowing how long this is going to last, I think that's one of the big things. Everything's fluid. It's kind of how we started the show, talking about everything's fluid, and every day there's a change. Every day the response has to change to meet that the challenge that we're facing. A lot of things we're trying to do is just establish routines. You know, there's a lot of families that there's a lot of challenges and changes going on. And so establishing a routine, trying to make a new normal, provide a sense of calm for your children, for your loved ones, and making sure that everyone knows that that it's okay to be experiencing this anxiety and that everyone's loved and they're not alone.
We'll talk more specifically about various steps you can take to cope with all this. And we also want to know how you're dealing with this from a fiscal point of view, either as a business owner, as an employee, maybe has lost their job, or someone who's doubly busy now because of all this, and how you're dealing with that. Let's go to the phone, 502-814-TALK, 502-814-8255. Joseph has a question about money. We'll see if we can answer this, Joseph. Hi, welcome to the program.
Yes, thank you. I was wondering about the passing of money through some of the drive-through restaurants, the banks, and the ATM machines. Is anybody doing anything to, say, decontaminate the passing of money?
I don't know. We'll probably need to talk to an epidemiologist about that. But have you heard anything, Dina, about the banks taking any steps?
It's funny that this is a great question, because it's funny. I just had a conversation this morning with a colleague that the banks are taking. I can't speak for the banks officially, mm-hmm. but my conversation with this particular individual talked about the money that they are, when someone comes to get money out of the bank, there is a process that they use to sanitize the money. So they are practicing that. I think the banks are practicing their own social distancing requirements, and money and the cleansing of money, if we have the ability to do that, is actually happening, at least in some of the banks. So that's a good question, because we always say money is one of the most germ items we could touch. So
yeah, it gets passed around a lot. So yeah, Joseph, thanks for your call from here in Louisville. Let's go to Elisa in Finchville, Kentucky. Hi, Elisa. Welcome to the program.
Hi there. Thank you for having me, and I appreciate your program and the public service that is being performed right now. My husband and I went to a large grocery in Shelbyville, and yesterday morning at 7, right when they opened, and the place was packed. There were hundreds of people in the store, and there's a general air of panic. People seem to be grabbing things off the shelves and not careful about social distancing at all. And I'm wondering, the mayor talked about safe working conditions. We almost need some safe shopping conditions. And that was my general comment.
Oh, that's good, because grocery stores will remain open. And Dina, are you aware of any guidelines that are being put into place by some of the larger grocers, retailers on distancing?
I'm not aware of any best practices around shopping. I guess I would reiterate the message that our mayor and our governor have shared, that we're going to be okay. We're going to get through this. We have to work together to do that. And I would encourage people, as much as you are doing to take care of yourself, that you're also looking out for your neighbor. And let's be good to one another and be calm. There will be enough to go around, and we will be okay. So it's unfortunate that was an experience that our caller had. But if we could just put that vibe out there, I really do think that's a vibe that can spread. Let's look out for one another, and we will be okay.
Greg, it's unsettling to go into a store and see people running around. The experience I've had is people have been pretty well behaved lately, but empty shelves, and then hearing all this and all this information coming in, it's best to, I'm sure you're going to tell us, to get away from it sometimes if you can.
Well, get away from it as you can, and try not to focus on it and fixate on it. I think that's a big piece of it. I mean, when you have to go out and be involved in it, prepare yourself for it, know what to be, to be expecting, try to plan your trips around times that you have some time to be, relaxed as you can to be able to encounter this. Try not to put too much pressure on yourself with deadlines about that. Those are things that can help.
A lot of folks home with children, young children.
Absolutely.
Very, very difficult to find to keep them occupied.
Absolutely. This is one of those times where, setting routines is nice. Also, you have to be, you can't be rigid. You have to be able to say, okay, normally we don't watch 2 hours of TV today, but you know what? Right now, especially if I'm home working and my child needs to watch, some cartoons or whatever on TV, then maybe they need to watch some cartoons on TV. I think right now we just have to, be as aware as possible of, listening to our kids, helping them relax. One of the things I read that was kind of interesting was to make, if you're depending on the age of your child, but you can make an educational activity out of this. I mean, this is a different time. You don't want to just ignore your child's, fears, but you can educate them about, hey, this is a time we're going through, and this is unique, a unique experience, and have them do a little reflection about that.
And you mentioned the word routine. I think that's going to be key as we go forward, if this stretches on for any amount of time, to get into a routine. Once we get over this initial anxiety, kind of get busy and doing things on a routine basis.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more.
502-814-TALK is our number to call, 502-814-8255. And we're glad to have our partner stations, listeners from our partner stations in Murray and Richmond with us, WKMS and WEKU, part of our Kentucky Public Radio Network. 502-814-8255, WFPL News is our Twitter handle. And we're also on Facebook on this new special here on 89.3 WFPL. We had we heard from an inmate in a local jail in southern Indiana, says people are in for petty crimes because they can't make bail, need to be let out. They're keeping us in here. I think there's been some talk about maybe letting out some of the lower level offenders, but I would check with the local authorities there. Let's go to Richard in Jeffersonville, Indiana. Hey, Richard, what's on your mind?
Hey, yeah, I happen to be a local Class A CDL driver, and I'm just kind of wondering, you know, over the past couple weeks, I have not seen any kind of slowdown with the trucking industry. Really have not heard anything about people taking precautions within the trucking industry. And, you know, is anybody really concerned out there about it?
Dina, that's I guess that's part of the supply chain is kind of a top priority in terms of making sure everybody has supplies or have its groceries and that sort of thing, correct?
I would agree. I haven't heard any best practices for the truck drivers themselves. Let's hope that they're doing some things themselves to keep themselves protected while they're on the road. But I do think when we, you know, we're still too early in to this crisis to really know what's going to happen. When we start having direct impacts in the job market, I think we're going to see the ripple effects into the supply chain of getting products to people. And then that will certainly ripple into the truck driving industry and into that profession. We're just too early to tell yet exactly what that's going to look like.
Richard, you're based in Jeffersonville? I think we lost Richard. I was going to see what he's hearing from his colleagues in the trucking industry. Well, we're talking about the coronavirus outbreak and its impact on Kentucky and the nation and the world here on WFPL and on Kentucky Public Radio. We want to hear what you think about it. What impact has it had on you as an employee, as a parent, as a business owner? Give us a call. Let us know. 502-814-TALK, 502-814-8255 is our number. We're also on Twitter. You can send us a tweet. Our handle is WFPL News, and we're on Facebook. And our guests today are Dina Epperle-Karam, Senior Vice President of Regional Economic Growth with Greater Louisville, Inc. That's the Louisville Area Chamber of Commerce. And Greg Orther, Behavioral Health Outreach Coordinator with UofL Health Peace Hospital. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to be joined by Chris Woldrich, who is the director of the Center for Economic and Entrepreneurial Development at Murray State University. All coming up after a break on this new special on WFPL and Kentucky Public Radio.
Support for LPM Podcasts comes from the Eye Care Institute and Butchertown Clinical Trials, where they strive for diversity, equity, and inclusion within their staff, patients, and clinical trial participants. To learn more, visit butchertown.clinic.
I'm Pamela Pryor, work at Wagner's Pharmacy. I've been here for 20 years. It is going to affect everybody's business, and I just hope that our customers will stay with us for a little bit and just bear with us and let us do what we have to do, and hopefully we keep coming back. I've never seen nothing like this, ever. I'll be 56 years old, and I've never seen nothing like this.
And how dependent would you say that Wagner's has been on that kind of traffic from Churchill Downs?
That brings a lot of revenue into us to keep us going through the summer and helps us in the wintertime. From what we make in the summertime from that derby alone.
Is it going to lead to cuts in staff, maybe changes here?
We have a few changes right now, and we have a few girls that we've laid off for a little bit, but it's nothing major. you know, right now, because there's only like seven of us anyway. So we're just hoping that our customers call us, place their orders, and pick them up so we can keep this business going, yes, because we don't want to close down. We've been here almost 100 years, and it's like a big thing. People come from out of town to come in here to see this place alone. Well, right now we're all worried about our jobs. We really are, and about our hours that we're going to be making, because we do have homes and things. We have to pay our bills, but we're adjusting, and we're all trying to work together. You know, say I can't pay a water bill or something, we'll all hook in, and we will get our bills paid because we're all family here.
Anything you want to add or a message you would want other people to hear?
Help your neighbors. That's what it is. We all need to stick together and we all need to help each other. Don't hoard your toilet papers and stuff like that, because everybody needs this stuff. You know, help everybody out and we'll get through this. There won't be no problems if we all work together.
Pamela Pryor, who works at Wagner's Pharmacy. For those of you who don't know out in the state, possibly, Wagner's Pharmacy is an institution right next to Churchill Downs, the home of the Kentucky Derby. It serves serves the whole public, but a lot of the racing folks go over there and have breakfast. It's also a restaurant in addition to a pharmacy, and they have breakfast and talk racing. So it's an institution near Churchill Downs. It's going to be hit hard by the delay in the Kentucky Derby this spring, but hopefully things will get close back to normal when they run the race and get things back in line for the fall. Pamela was spoken to, was interviewed by our producer, Kaylin Jackson, on the scene there in South Louisville. You're listening to a news special on 89.3 WFPL and Kentucky Public Radio on the impact, the economic impact mainly that this coronavirus outbreak is having on us here in the Kentucky area and elsewhere. I'm Rick Howlett. Our guest here in the studio are Dina Epperle-Karam, who's Senior Vice President of Regional Economic Growth for Greater Louisville, Inc., the Chamber of Commerce, and Greg Orther, Behavioral Health Outreach Coordinator, helping us keep our sanity here from U of L Health Peace Hospital. And joining us on the phone from Murray State University is Chris Woolrich. He is Director of the Center for Economic and Entrepreneurial Development at Murray State and also an instructor of economics, finance, and other topics at MSU. Chris, welcome to the program. Glad to have you here.
Thank you, Rick, and I appreciate the opportunity to be with you this morning, and hope that everyone is safe and healthy so far and maintains that.
We're hanging in there. I'm interested in what's going on in your part of the state there. We're, of course, here in an urban area, the state's largest city, bordered by Indiana. You're in a region bordered by Illinois, Missouri, Tennessee, with a large recreational economy, among many other things. But what's happening there on the ground? How are folks responding to the statewide restrictions so far?
Sure, I appreciate that. We, our area, of course, is a very large ag industry and ecotourism as well, with the Land Between the Lakes area and boating and fishing and hunting and hiking, et cetera. And, of course, we have many smaller communities dotted throughout West Kentucky. To speak to how this has been handled, I reached out to a number of our chamber directors and economic development professionals and other folks yesterday and really trying to take the pulse of what's happening through the region as they see it. And as you can imagine, it's a pretty wide breadth of reactions. We range from some initial panic buying, some hoarding, et cetera, that goes on with any kind of situation such as this. We saw this at when we had the ice storm a few years ago, and so that was a little bit of a precursor to some kind of a disaster. So some of us are well acquainted with how to address that. Now the length of it and the depth of it obviously are going to be quite different. So we've had that extreme, but we've also had the other extreme. We as communities in West Kentucky are relatively tight-knit and support each other. We've seen, I guess the best way to term it would be tense calmness. Everyone is pulling together. As more communication rolls out, the more people know how to act and they feel more comfortable in acting. And so as long as communication is coming through, we're seeing that. Now, I will say that this change in the restaurants being shut down, some of our other retailers starting today, that anxiety level has climbed. The reality of the situation is becoming more apparent. and in some cases way more personal as we see folks that are losing their jobs. We're seeing innovation. We're seeing different things from our retailers and our restaurateurs to try to accommodate that. And, of course, our local and state officials are being supportive as well. But as this deepens, we are seeing an increase in obviously some of that anxiety, which is probably true everywhere.
Now, Murray State has gone to online classes, and now until the end of the semester, right, at Murray State University?
Yes, sir. So President Jackson and his team, his leadership team, made an excellent call and really looking at the situation and looking at all the parameters which we're trying to operate and keeping student health and student education in their proper perspective. So we have moved to all online classes for the balance of the semester, and we'll be working with students as we move them out of the dorms and move them back to their homes or however that needs to happen. But kudos to Dr. Jackson and to his team for making those decisions, and I suspect we'll see more of that throughout the Commonwealth.
All right, Chris, I'm going to come back to you. Let's go back to the phone and take a couple of calls here. Abigail is in Orange County, Indiana. Hi, Abigail. Welcome to the program. Thanks for waiting.
Hi.
Go ahead.
When they were talking about what the stores were doing, like what the precautions would be taking, I know here in Harrison County in Indiana, the Dollar Tree was opening up for the first hour for the elderly only, since after they were cleaned and restocked, and then they were going to let everyone else come. So I know that they were doing that.
Okay. That's thanks for passing that along. That's a good idea to protect our seniors, and thanks for your call from Orange County. Let's go to Marion County, Kentucky, and Laura. Hi, Laura. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thank you. I just wanted to comment that with all of the recommendations of staying indoors to stay safe, I've found that being out of doors is really health-giving, and I know this is not possible for everybody, especially in the city, but as much as possible, I feel like being in the sun and the air is obviously helpful, but also to be near plants and soil. Like the spring is coming down here. There's already several edible herbs, wild plants that are in everybody's backyard, chickweed, dandelion, wild lettuce. And that we have more time with the kids now, that this is a really good time to learn ourselves and share with the kids our ecosystems, our little backyard ecosystems, or whatever is available around us. And that you can also order simple things right now. If we're going to be going through this for months, possibly in any way, you might want to order some seeds and a few hand tools and soil amendments and pots. You can grow things on a balcony. And we might be grateful for the fresh food that now we've also helped to grow to feed us physically and feed our spirit. And even in the city, just to be near a big tree, Louisville is so blessed with trees. So I know not everybody has the privilege of even being near a big tree, but anything that we can get close to in nature, I feel, has been very healing for me.
Great, great, great advice, Lauren. Thanks for your call. We have great recreational areas in Kentucky, great park system here in Louisville, and Greg, nothing like the great outdoors.
Nothing
to
like it.
Help some people feel better.
Yeah, some good exercise is the way to do it. And like she said, educate yourself. You know, there's lots of different things you can do, especially with your kids. Lots of different ways to be creative and come up with neat ways to take advantage of this time together as a family.
We had to preempt the President Trump press conference from this morning. A little bit of news came out of there. President Trump said the government would be providing immediate relief to renters and homeowners by suspending all foreclosures and evictions until the end of April. Of course, we'll have more on that from WFPL and NPR and our Kentucky Public Radio partners throughout the day today and beyond. Let's go back to the phone. 502-814-8255 is our number. 502-814-8255. And send us a tweet as well, WFPL News. Let's go to Dennis, who's in, on the road. He's a trucker on the road. Hi, Dennis. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, good afternoon. I kind of wanted to follow up on the driver that had called a few minutes ago. I think for us truck drivers, what a lot of people don't realize, where he was talking about nobody's really saying much about us, is It's already stressful to be on the road driving a semi, but we are completely exposed to everything right now. We deal with people every day. We're in and out of truck stops. I think what the concern for drivers is right now, which I don't think a lot of people know, is that the states have shut down all the bars and restaurants. Yet the restaurants are still open in the truck stops. They're having to feed us. And nobody seems to be talking about, you know, being concerned with us. I don't know if that makes sense or not.
Yeah, are they trying to take steps that in the truck stop restaurants to keep distances
they have closed. Most of the restaurants have closed where you can sit down in there.
Right.
But we're still inside there ordering the food. I understand, you know, and it could be a comment to the government, you know, because I've heard nothing for the last week, but, you know, the nurses and doctors have to be our number one priority because they're around people all day and interacting with people. But that's got to make truck drivers the second most concern because we're probably around 500-600 people a day, if not more.
All right. Dennis, thanks for your call and safe travels to you. And thank you so much for keeping our supply system going. I think, Dina, as we move more deeper into this, we'll kind of get a little bit more continuity as to some of these practices in various businesses.
Yes, this is something we've never experienced before. So I also want to thank all of our truck drivers and people that help get us products to our businesses and homes. Such an important role in our economy. I guess my reaction, I don't have an immediate solution or recommendation for these truck drivers who are listening, except to say that I hope that you're taking care of yourself, that you're realizing when you're going into those facilities, what you're touching and how close you are standing to people. That will be important for your own safety. And then, of course, as you move down the road and go to the next facility or deal with the next customer, you want to be aware of that too. So my encouragement to you is that you take good care of yourself in the way that you are using, possibly if you have supplies like gloves, the hand sanitizer, washing your hands as you go in and out of the facility, maybe using your pinky instead of your hand mm-hmm. as you open a door. Sounds funny, especially for a man, but it is something that those are little things I think you can do to take care of yourself. I want him and all of our truck drivers to know we see you. We know you're there. You are such an important part of our economy. And I'm hoping that you are inspired by that a little bit and will take good care of yourself and know how important you are to keeping this economy going.
Thanks for your call, Dennis. We're talking about the impact of the coronavirus outbreak here in Kentucky and our region. And elsewhere on WFPL and Kentucky Public Radio, our guests are Dina Epperle-Karam, who you just heard. She's Senior Vice President of Regional Economic Growth, Greater Louisville, Inc. Greg Orther, Behavioral Health Outreach Coordinator, U of L Health Peace Hospital. On the phone with us is Chris Woolridge, Director of the Center for Economic and Entrepreneurial Development at Murray State University, where, as the case with every other university, pretty much, they have gone to online courses. Some have set an end date on that in April. Some are going to the end of the semester, as they are at Murray State. Chris, I'm wondering how is the online instructional system working? Is it holding up? Is the Wi-Fi holding up? And all the tools that students need to continue their studies?
Yes, sir. We are, in fact, we've gone through some extensive training for some of us, refreshers. For some of us, it's a little bit more than a refresher on using our online systems. We have a very robust system called Canvas, which is basically our delivery system online to our students. We are using Zoom. We are using Of course, the most recent and most advanced technology that's out there that we can access and get pushed out to the students. So we just went through some training these last 3 or 4 days just to make sure that we're all up to par on delivering that. And I feel very confident that we'll be very effective in delivering that material to the students. And we're working very diligently to make sure that our students have access to it through laptops or through whatever tools they need to make sure. And, of course, we can still go the old phone route, conference calls, et cetera, making sure that we're staying and keeping that personal contact with each individual student. I'm very confident, not concerned really at all with that. It's going to be a change. It's going to be a change for our students. It's going to be a change for some of our instructors. But I feel like we're very, very well positioned for that. Again, it's as one of our instructors mentioned yesterday in the conference, we all have to have forgiveness and patience, and we'll be fine. Rick, if I could speak to that truck driver's concerns as well.
Sure.
It might be good just to mention that Governor Beshear's mention of the businesses that were closing and the businesses that were going to be opening. There is a directive that the businesses that do stay open, they must follow CDC guidance. And so while I realize that truckers are going to be in other areas other than in the Commonwealth, the other 49 states, I am betting, are going to get the same directive if they haven't already. So those CDC guidelines must be followed by any businesses that stay open, including truck stops, which would include that 6-foot distance, that social distancing, the hygiene. Those employers have to make sure that their ill employees are at home, staying at home. So there is some pressure on that. And then, of course, they're required to make sure that their establishments are disinfected and cleaned regularly. So while the truck stop is open, they have to abide by that as well. So hopefully that'll give some of our folks, truck drivers and others that are traveling, some assurances that those businesses at least are supposed to be doing that.
Don't have time to take any more calls, but I want to pass along. We had a call from an Airbnb owner struggling to pay mortgage now because there are no bookings. The tourism industry is going to need help, Dina. That's one of the many big impacts that we're going to see here in the weeks and months to come.
I was just going to comment. One of the things that will be coming out over the next day or so, in fact, we've already announced it through our communication to our membership, is GLI and the Louisville Tourism have partnered to help match some workers to jobs. So those individuals who have lost work because of the shutdown of restaurants and other hospitality venues, if you will email us and let us know that you're looking for something, we are also looking for employers who are willing to take on some of these workers on a temporary basis. The email would be rwood@greaterlouisville.com, and we'll help you get connected.
Very good. I want to thank all our guests. Dina, thanks to you. And thanks to you, Greg, as well. Greg Orther with UofL Health Peace Hospital. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Woolridge out at Murray State University, and Mayor Greg Fisher, thanks to you as well. And thanks to our production team on this news special, Caitlin Jackson, Laura Ellis, Bill Burton, Russell Wells, our Kentucky Public Radio partner stations. Our opening and closing theme was composed by Kojin Toshiro, and I'm Rick Howlett. Thanks for listening. Coming up on In Conversation, we'll continue our discussion of the coronavirus outbreak, its impact on public health, the economy, and other aspects of our lives. Louisville Mayor Greg Fisher will join us, and we'll have a panel of health officials and others here to take your questions and comments about the latest developments in the fight against coronavirus. That's the next In Conversation, Friday morning at 11 on 89.3 WFPL.